Welcome to JFK and the Enduring Secret. I'm your host, Jeff Crudell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode is episode 143, and it's a continuation of episodes 141 and 142. It's part three of a three-part series related to the JFK Records Act, featuring a live conversation with Mark Adamczyk and Andrew Eiler, two attorneys who are expert on the law associated with the act. In today's third and final part to this series, we explore the Gannon Memo, which is a little-known but important memo that was developed for Donald Trump by a member of his Office of Legal Counsel while Trump was president, and that has significant negative ramifications for transparency and for the interpretation by the executive branch of what is required under the JFK Records Act. So, without further ado, let's get right back to the live episode with Andrew and Mark. Yeah, why you're doing that, I want to make a comment. I kind of put my corporate hat on when I hear what you guys just said, which is absolutely very logical. I mean, when you're in a big job like that, this stuff just whizzing by. I'm kind of humored by when they talk about senior executives in really large companies and they think, you know, the discussion is that they should know everything and they really don't. They can't. It's impossible. So I get that. But this has been a matter of such important public right now. It's really so embedded in our DNA. And there's such a big question as to how we've pivoted after that moment in time in 1963, and sort of the loss of innocence of this country, that to answer these questions is really, really critical to restoring confidence in many ways in the American system. And it's a great system, but it's had its moments, and this is one of them. You know, look, every senior executive, every president has got his own way of doing things, but there's a presumption and an intent in this statute to let it all be disclosed. And there has to be a compelling reason not to. I see this scenario, this hypothetical scenario, that if you're sitting in the president's office and you've got half an hour to review this, and you ask the people who are saying no to you to make a compelling reason why, of course, it probably never got to that. But if it did, you know, the idea that they could come to his office and say, we're going to give you 10, the top 10 out of 16,000 records, the 10 most egregious things that we don't want the public to know. This is the worst of it. Okay. There's 16,000 things we're not telling them. And, you know, let's go through these. We've chosen these. We've had the opportunity to do it ourselves, and we'll let you determine whether or not you feel that's an issue. Not to have an advisor say it's generically a national security interest. I mean, the real issue that we have in this country, in my opinion, is that it's become so complex to govern something this big that the bureaucracy runs by itself. And there was a moment where the bureaucracy got ahead of itself in the 1950s and 60s. And that's why we have some of the issues that we have in that time frame. And it, you know, and I know I'm pontificating now, so I'll stop in a minute because I want you guys to get back to the story of the Gannon memo. But at the same time, there's a lot of culpability all the way around in terms of people passing the buck about what should be done here. And I think part of it is because it doesn't matter politically, you know, this comes in waves. It came in waves right after the JFK movie. It probably needs to come in waves again, if anything else is to be done about it, because at the end of the day, if it doesn't change the way somebody votes, let's face it, it's really gotten to the point where it's an historical fact that not much people care about unless they really understand the connection to, you know, the idea that we're a republic. And you know, and there may have been a moment where that was stolen temporarily, you know, from the people.
Well, that's
let's be honest here. This is complicated, and most Americans aren't lawyers. Most Americans don't have time to drill down on Section 5, 6, and 9 of the JFK Act and put it into context of the purposes of the act. And I think we always have to look at the whole purpose of the act was A, to release all the records, and for the records that they're not going to immediately release, there's a mandated statutory process to downgrade and declassify all of these records. So the way that Congress decided that they would do it is that they would establish the criteria for postponing or withholding the public release of these records. That's under Section 6. Section 5 creates a process of mandatory periodic review that ended up not being so mandatory, but periodic review of the postponed records. And then you get into Section 9 of the Act, which lays out what happens with those postponed records, particularly in the periodic review process, but also in the presidential determination of protest to ARB releases of these documents. Section 9 and Section 5 also require the transparency parts of the act. So if you're going to withhold a document, you've got to publicly say why and how that's going to happen. So in 2017, when Curtis Gannon provided President Trump with his memo that justified a wholesale withholding of, I don't know how many, 20,000, 30,000 records in 2017. He had to get around the requirement, the statutory requirement for a section by section review and justification under Section 6 criteria. And what most people don't understand is that Curtis Gannon, in his memo to President Trump, argued that Section 6 expired on October 26, 2017. He literally wrote that down. So again, going back to the need, the purpose of the act to downgrade and declassify, you had all of this great stuff under Section 6 that really limited the reasons why government agencies could seek a postponement. Well, Curtis Gannon in 2017 said, okay, yeah, that section doesn't apply anymore. Section 6 criteria expired on October 26, 2017. And what does that mean in practice? You have to look at what happened with the government decision-making on this. What happens when Section 6 criteria are no longer operable? Well, Gannon says the lower standard, the lower bar to postpone under Section 5G2D is now the operable law. Okay. So again, going back to the whole purpose of the act to downgrade and declassify, Gannon is now saying, yeah, our standards are lower. 60 years after the assassination, and despite this act saying we're going to release all of these records on October 2017, now he's saying we need to provide less reasons, not on a record-by-record basis. And this is the essence of what happened after President Trump's October 26 memo. Gannon's recommendations or interpretation of the act became government policy. And the government stopped even referring to Section 6 criteria in its databases. Instead, and you can see this in the six spreadsheets that are available on National Archives, that where they used to list the Section 6 criteria for postponement, they took all that out and they instead replaced it with a reference to Section 5G2D. And that's it. That's what happened. That's what was implemented by the National Archivist and National Archives. So the standards used to be very high to postpone a record, and now there's essentially no standard to postpone. And in essence, he's gotten rid of Section 9.2, which don't require record by record reasons, unclassified and publicly disclosed. And that interpretation is fundamentally flawed. It's wrong and it's unlawful, even under the other sections of the Act.
Can I, Mark, it sounds like you want to make a comment on this, but before you do, can I, and maybe you'll comment on what I say. I mean, that's explosive. I mean, what you just said is incredibly explosive in my opinion. And can I maybe dumb it down a little bit? I mean, thank goodness the two of you are here as legal experts to take us through this, but I kind of take it back to the corporate world, so to speak. You know, there's a law in place. Laws are complex. They have provisions to them. When you're trying to comply with a law in the corporate world, you ask your lawyers, you know, if there's an area of judgment in the law that you have to interpret, you ask for interpretation. And that doesn't mean you're right or wrong. It means that you've used your best legal approach to ensure that you're complying with the statute that has to be involved. And it sounds here like what the president has done is to take his own sort of in-house internal legal counsel, which, you know, obviously every day the executive branch has to interpret the laws and make sure that they're in compliance with the laws that the Congress makes. And that internal counsel has said, what has effectively happened is that they've played rope-a-dope and they've run the clock out to 2017 and not complied in many ways with the disclosure of these rules. And now out of the blue, they've said that, and guess what? Now that it is 2017, the provisions of a particular section don't apply. They've expired. And therefore, we're not subject, even though we were subject all the way up to that point, we weren't complying. We're now only subject to a lesser provision within the same piece of legislation. And I mean, that's absolutely amazing when you think about it. And now obviously that doesn't mean Gannon is right, right? He wrote, you know, he's a lawyer. He works in the executive branch. He's made an analysis of a law and he's given it to the president. The president is using that as guidance. But at the end of the day, and how does this work? I think if you guys can explain this to the listeners, you know, if you're out in the corporate world and there's a civil law and somebody violates it, you know, there's a cause of action that one party, like if they're in a contract relationship, one party may have against the other and they may file in court and see each other in court and settle it that way. You know, it's a little bit different when we pass a law, which essentially requires the executive branch of our government to execute on things and then they don't execute on things. And, you know, how do the American people hold the executive branch and all of its sub elements responsible for complying with those laws?
Jeff, if I could just jump in, and I certainly want Mark to put his thoughts forward on this as well. This really is explosive. The argument that Curtis Gannon has made that the Section 6 criteria expired on October 26, 2017 is so fundamentally flawed that alone should prompt oversight by the respective Senate and House committees. That's not what the Act says. In fact, the Act says exactly the opposite in Section 12B, which indicates that all sections that don't have to do specifically with the ARRB operation continue until every single record is released. So this isn't something that is well known. The Gannon memo is not widely read, but I do recommend to all of your listeners, find a copy of the Act, read the Act, pay particular attention to sections 5, 6, and 9, and then take a look at what Curtis Gannon has to say in his October 2017 memo to then President Trump. This is really explosive stuff.
Well, we can certainly put that out on the website too, and or links to it, which is a great idea because I think people should, if they have the time and the inclination, read it. I listen to your articulation of it, and I mean, it's actually surprising that it's not been discussed in greater, you know, in obviously you all are, you know, legal scholars on this, and there's not going to be very many people who really understand this to begin with, except folks like yourself. But the idea of getting the word out on this is really important because it's pretty clear that the government has taken a position that will almost by definition frustrate the execution of the statute.
The thing, Jeff, that was really, what I've just stated is shocking enough. But back in the summer of 2021, I remember going on to the National Archives spreadsheets and seeing that they had removed all reference to the Section 6 postponement criteria, replaced it with Section 5G2D. But then in another section opening criteria, they literally put the opening criteria was, quote, approval of the CIA.
Oh, and, my gosh.
And when you see, yeah. And that was changed in 2021. Nowhere in the act does it say that the CIA has control over the postponement of disclosure of any of these records. In fact, that's the opposite of what the act says. And that change that took place in 2021 to the record collection that's public facing on National Archives website, I remember sharing that with Mark and other lawyers and other people. And it was just so shocking that that's how those records were being treated in the light of what's actually in the act.
The one thing I'll add, and you might find this interesting, the Gannon memo is dated October 26, 2017. Okay. It's a 16 to 17 page memo, right, Andrew? That's probably would have taken multiple weeks with multiple government lawyers to research the act. They have multiple footnotes. And that was released the same day that Trump made his last minute decision to issue a 6-month, quote, temporary certification. How does that get done that fast? Because Trump was tweeting a week or less before the release date, how he was looking forward to releasing all the records. So do you think that might have been the direction to Gannon and the Office of Legal Counsel to prepare something to give justification for the postponement? I don't see how that adds up. It took Andrew and I the better part of a year to drill down on the act and what it means and what legal remedies and how it could go this way, that way, and the other. So that's kind of troubling that it would be issued the same day and they already had this memo ready to go. I mean,
on the deadline. Yeah.
On releasing these records, and all of a sudden this memo comes out on the same day that Trump was supposed to make a decision on a record by record basis for the withheld records. And all of a sudden Gannon and his associates came out and said, no, you know, Section 6 expired, President, you can just issue an order saying a batch or a group of records unidentified can be postponed on a global basis on the, you know, if you think that the harm to national security, law enforcement, foreign affairs outweighs the public interest. Okay. They still were supposed to say why and why certain records outweighed the public interest and what was in there. So it's just very troubling how that came out on the same day. And that's become, policy for the last 5 years now. Biden is following the same policy, and like Andrew said, it makes zero sense how the standards of the act could be less onerous in 2023 than they were in 2017 or prior. It should go the other way around. There should be, you know, more of a standard and the act should be enforced to make sure that, you know, whatever's still out there meets the clear and convincing evidentiary standard as to why certain records are withheld. Put it in the Federal Register with an identification aid as to the reason under Section 6. But what the Gannon memo did is it authorized the president under plausible grounds of a legal opinion to issue postponements and a group of records saying, oh, it just, you know, national security, it out, you know, the public interest doesn't outweigh this, without telling us why. It's really bizarre, and it flies in the face of the intent of the JFK Act.
And it's not even clear that either President Trump or Biden even looked at any of the records at all.
Well, I bet they haven't.
Yeah, well, I think we get into the practical side of just what you both touched upon. This is a vast, I mean, this is the largest collection of records ever assembled related to a murder case in the history of the world. The president is not going to look at them. Let's be practical here.
Right.
But the issue is that in the absence of a very defined responsibility, I mean, you know, you have the National Archivist here, but at the end of the day, I don't even think that's the right, you know, level of expertise. There is not a construct, at least when I look at the large and complicated bureaucracies that comprise the federal government and the vast array of agencies that are involved, where there are, listen, very legitimate reviews that should be conducted as to whether or not something should be withheld or not. I mean, I'm not in any way suggesting that the law itself shouldn't be interpreted in a balanced way. If there is something that meets that criteria, it should be withheld. It's just hard for anyone, any sort of, you know, common sense thing, even in the largest of world consequence that you can think of at this point, 60 years after the fact, that it's hard to fathom a reason that meets that criteria. And it seems to me like there's some fundamental things that are wrong with the statute to begin with to force compliance over a group of agencies that aren't going to do it voluntarily. And then secondly, when you add on this incredible memo, okay, this incredible legal justification within the executive branch that really has no judicial review yet around it, that you've got a prescription for, you know, really just a continuing circumstance of non-disclosure.
It's arbitrary. That's what it is. It's completely arbitrary, and it's not accountable. And there's no transparency with respect to any particular record as to why any of the records are being postponed. And Jeff, I got to say, I don't think any reasonable person, lawyer or layperson, would disagree with you. There are legitimate reasons out there to withhold certain of the records. I think that's a given, and no one who's actively pursuing these records has suggested that there are no legitimate reasons to withhold a record. But that's not the standard that's put out by the Act. If you're going to withhold a record, there are ministerial or statutory duties. You have to do it a certain way. You have to follow certain procedures. You have to show evidence, clear and convincing evidence of a demonstrable harm under Section 6. That's all in the Act. And when you come to that decision, you need to provide reasons. And those reasons have to be in an unclassified, published manner in the Federal Register. None of that has happened. And what remedies do you have? Well, the Act says that you can seek judicial review of any of the decisions. And that has happened. There's been an effort to seek judicial review in a claim in Northern California. And so hopefully that claim is successful.
And that, just to be clear for the listeners, that's the Mary Farrell Foundation filing. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Yes, again, at the end of the day, we all hope that whatever actions are being taken in a judicial setting are successful. But I listen to all of this, and I, in the absence, or even in the presence of a positive outcome, there are, elements to this that I think are flaws in the way that it will matriculate over the next sort of season of record harvesting. At the end of the day, time is running out. The vast majority of witnesses have passed. There's only a few left. It's interesting. I mean, you think about it. Marina Oswald is still living. Ruth Payne is still living. There are a couple of really critical people who, may or may not have something additional to say about all this. But most of the key government people that were involved or potentially involved are all gone now. And it's just every day that goes by, it becomes harder to actually validate what will be probably a wild ending if there is something in here that explains it. So I'm hopeful that it happens sooner rather than later is, I guess, my point on it. What can we all do? We're getting, I guess, as they say in the business, we're getting to the top of the hour. And we've been on for a good long time. I guess we're probably going to cut this up into a couple of different episodes because it's all been fascinating. Actually, the two of you are just absolutely amazing in your grasp of the statute itself. And obviously, so much to the history around how we've gotten to where we are today. I'll give you the last word on this, both of you. What can we do? What should be done from here? And how can listeners of the JFK Enduring Secret podcast help you?
I guess I'll start. If you go back to the reaction from the 1991 film, JFK, Oliver Stone did, there was hundreds of thousands of people that wrote to their congresspersons. There's two congressional committees identified right in the statute, the JFK Act, that have oversight authority, writing to them, emailing them. That really, hopefully the lawsuit is successful. That could take a long time, but there could be public interest in this. And if you learn anything from this, it's that the JFK Act was a powerful statute, but it's been abused and it's been delayed without legal justification. And why on earth, did our government tell us something 60 years ago and they're still withholding, thousands of records? And why on earth is the president allowed to just keep kicking the can down the road without at least explaining to the American people and the archivists and the president working in conjunction to get, it won't be the president. Like you said, Jeff, that the president's not going to sit down and read, several thousand records. He's going to have a staffer do it. They need to work together to make sure that the mechanism of the act is complied with and that there's a record by record certification for any desired postponement and that that's published so that the American people can see what the grounds are. And what the time frame would be. The other thing I'd love to see, and I mentioned this earlier, is that if a congressional committee can establish a new independent board like the ARB for a period of, say, 3 years with some funding to make sure that, this doesn't have to go through extensive litigation and that the agencies can be held accountable to do what they were supposed to do under the act so that the president's office can make a record by record determination and have that available to the American people. There's not going to be anything in there, like we talked about earlier, that explains how and why the assassination happened, but there should be an explanation on the intelligence connections to Oswald and whoever else that that we know are out there, but that the records that show it are still being withheld. That's my opinion. That's what I would recommend is if your listeners can say, like, why did you tell us this one guy did it by himself? Why did you tell us in 1978 that he still did it, but there may have been a conspiracy? It was then referred to the Justice Department after the HSCA wound up in 1979 or 78 to further investigate. Nothing was done. So what's the explanation as to why these records are still withheld? It's not going to be extremely upsetting to most Americans to learn, because it's pretty much known at this point that Oswald had, as Schweikert said, Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, There's fingerprints of intelligence everywhere we look around Oswald when he was on the committee that preceded HSCA. So just let us know that that's he was, you know, an intelligence asset at some point. Maybe an operation went awry, and you know what? We didn't want to make a big deal of it in the early 60s because it was a very sensitive time. And here we are in 2023. That's what happened. You know, you may not get that far, but at least release the remaining records that may show more to the story. And that they owe that to Congress, and the president owe that to the American people. And if they don't take that step, then the whole effort of passing the 1992 Records Collection Act was a waste of time and resources. So that's what I would like to see happen.
My view is, what can your listeners do? They can pay attention to legitimate sources of good, solid, reliable information. They can familiarize themselves with the key governing statute, the JFK Act. I know that's a big ask for most listeners and most people, but you've got a great educated audience, and you've done a wonderful job. Share that information with other people. There are reliable sources. Jefferson Morley has done unbelievable work in investigating good chunks of the assassination, particularly around how the CIA and other intelligence agencies have acted around the investigations. Share that information and continue to pay attention to it. And as Mark has said, write your congressional representatives, write the members of the Senate Committee on Intelligence. Tell them. I think people are hearing it loud and clear. And this particular postponement that happened on December 15th, 2022, really struck a wrong chord with the American people. I think that's clear. There have been press outlets on both the right and the left who have raised many of the issues, and not superficially. And this is a bit of a different turn. And there's been more than just a 24-hour news cycle on the assassination records. Now, the December 15th release happened 10 days before Christmas. And the page has turned a little bit, but there's been continued pressure. And I think what you'll see is going into the next deadline, which I believe is in July, if I'm not mistaken, right, Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah, leading up to the next deadline in July, there will be additional and ongoing pressure from Mary Farrell with the lawsuit that's going on, with the coverage that's been given to the subject. I think there is a larger number of people who are paying attention to this. It's important that they get good information on which they can educate themselves.
Well, we'll certainly do that. And in fact, one thing we are doing to bring, I think, great information to them is to have both of you on the show. And it's been an amazing show, actually. We haven't done many that are live like this, and we probably won't do many more. But this is a real notable exception. And I hope you all will reserve the right to come back and update us as things develop, and probably in the second half of the year after some of the lawsuit activity plays out. I have to ask one more question, though. I hope you all, as lawyers, you certainly can demur and not answer, but I've got to ask it. Do you have opinions as to, what happened? I mean, either generically or specifically. I suppose you may or may not believe in a conspiracy, and maybe of a particular type. Either one of you want to have the last word and reveal that to the audience?
Jeff, I think it's been important to the work that I've done, and I believe Mark feels the same way, that our focus is on the law and what the JFK Records Act requires to happen. And any conjecture or speculation really takes away from the fact that that various government agencies and sadly two presidents have stepped away from the requirements of the act. And that's what my focus has been directed to. So, you know, who did it? Why? Those are really fascinating questions. But I think the American public should be more concerned with whether the clear provisions and requirements of the JFK Records Collection Act are being complied with.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have anything to add. I mean, I totally agree. I mean, everyone has their own impressions on what may have happened. There's so many books that have been written, movies, and everyone has their own theories. But that's why Andrew and I really drilled down on this, is to make sure that a federal statute of utmost importance is complied with, and it's been treated as a light suggestion by the agencies, by the archivists, and ultimately the president and those advising the president. And it's a statute that's designed to provide ultimate transparency. I don't think there's anything like it. You can talk about the Freedom of Information Act. Well, that statute, it's called FOIA, put the burden on the citizen to ask the government office, you know, you need to turn this record over. And then they could say, well, you know, no, you haven't met your burden of proof. This statute put the burden on the offices and the agencies, ultimately the president, to disclose every record unless there was a compelling reason. And the statute requires that reason to be in unclassified form and available to the American public. And it should have been there years and years and years ago, and they haven't done it. And whatever the reasons are, they are. But that's not been done. And that's where and we know that there are pro-Warren Commission and conspiracy side theorists that want the same thing. Everyone just wants the records out because it's all about transparency and no more secrecy. And if you read Section 2 of the JFK Act, I encourage all of your listeners to read that. It lays out exactly why everything that had happened up until 1992 was completely inadequate. All of the reasons for secrecy and denying records, you know, presidential orders, Freedom of Information Act, it's right in there. It says this isn't cutting it. What's going to cut it is you turn over all the records. We're going to have a board that makes evidentiary decisions on these records. They decide when it gets released, and end of story. And only if the president in 2017 finds a compelling reason for a record to be withheld that actually would pose demonstrable harm to the United States, should it be withheld. And even then, it should be reviewed and reviewed until that harm, so to speak, goes away. So that's really the important message we wanted to relay. And something can still be done. That's why we still care about this stuff. It's all about keeping 60 plus year old records, and there might be nothing in it. Like I told you earlier in the show, I think that it's a attitude of these agencies to say, how dare you mess with our business? This is secret. We said it's secret. No, it's a public record. The statute says, and it's an assassination record. You have to disclose it. And the president does not have just carte blanche authority to keep kicking the can down the road on a group of records and going 6 months and 9 months and 12 months. You know, that it's just enough's enough. So that's why we're talking about this.
Well, as I predicted, I didn't think I could get either one of you to come up and express an opinion on that. Appreciate that, because one of the things that we've tried to do in this podcast is to remain incredibly objective and to review things from an evidential standpoint and sort of not make a determination until the end. You know, even though we all have probably opinions on things, and I do too, I'm sure you all do privately as well. Where I will differ a little bit from the two of you, and I want to reemphasize this, I don't think the exercise of disclosing the records is all that important if your objective is not to try to solve the case. the original reason for passing these statutes was because the government was not disclosing things that were critical to determining what happened to our president and whether or not potentially a coup d'etat occurred. And, you know, that's at the end of the day, the ultimate reason for going through this exercise. It's not to just gather records or disclose them, but the government has a requirement when it passes a law to comply with its own laws, and they're complicated. And it's not so simple like most things we talk about on the show. You know, there's a lot of, it's not just black and white around all these issues. And that's why you need such legal expertise around it. And that's why I'm so happy that we were very lucky, I think, on this show to be able to get both Andrew and Mark on at the same time. They're experts at this. And gentlemen, I am so appreciative of the fact that you helped guide us through here today. You know, it's amazing. I hope you'll come back and be with us and help keep us abreast of what's happening in this area, which is so important and so technical. And my bigger hope, actually, is that the agencies will comply. We'll get documents that ultimately can help put the rest of the pieces to the puzzle together, solve the mosaic that we talked about earlier in the discussion, and actually have a pretty good understanding, have it stand up in some level of credibility as to an answer about what really happened here and why. And I think at the end of the day, as I said in the prelude to this, I think getting to the 5-yard line and having time run out without getting into the end zone here would be a terrible tragedy. And so this is a means to an end. And it's a really important, in fact, it's a critical element of trying to get there. And it's people like Mark and Andrew that are ensuring that the government doesn't stand in the way of getting to the truth. So again, gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate you being on today. And this, it's actually going to be, these episodes are going to be published relatively soon. As soon as we can get them, you know, onto the airwaves, we're going to get them out there because it's such a relevant topic. And thank you again.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Jeff. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it so much.
Same here, gentlemen. Take care. Good night. Thank you for listening to episode 143, the third in a 3-part live series related to the JFK Records Act.